All right, so this is the 67th forecast.
Very nice.
Yeah.
Good background research there.
It's actually looked this morning just to see. Because otherwise I wouldn't have known. But yeah, so we want to talk about Batman. I know you're all surprised out there.
So we came to the end of a, what is it, 2-year Batman saga?
Technically, it's the end of like a 5-year Batman saga, because it started all the way back in Batman and Son, which was like maybe 4 years. I think that was 2006.
So, incredibly long Batman saga.
Yeah.
And we will talk about what that means to us. You go first.
So, it's fun. Like, so Grant Morrison's one of my favorite writers,
mm-hmm.
but I have disliked a lot of stuff he's done recently, or disliked isn't the right word. Well, actually, no, disliked is the right word, but it was very confusing to dislike it because he's one of my favorites.
Mm-hmm.
It was kind of like the TV show you love, and then you watch an episode, and you're at the end of it, you're just like, wait, what happened? Like, why don't I like this show anymore? So it was basically that, and Batman and Robin was very up and down for me overall. Like, I thought Batman RIP had some interesting ideas but didn't make it in the execution stage.
Mm-hmm.
But Batman and Robin was kind of the same, but it made it more often. Like, the Frank Quitely arc was really good. The first one, the arc with Batwoman, was great. And then the Frazier Irving arc was really good.
Mm-hmm.
And so the stories I liked the best were also the ones with the best art, which makes me wonder if I'm liking the art more than the story.
Hmm.
But overall, like, I picked up the two trades and burned through the... I reread all of them over the past week, and, like, I like it enough to own it, which I guess is kind of the bottom line.
Well, I'm looking at 4 stacks of trades on your coffee table right now. Well, 4.5.
I like a lot of books enough to own them.
Well, it's good. Your commitment to literature is excellent.
Yeah. No novels, though, because that's messed up. No pictures. But what did you... I know that we have fairly different tastes in comics. How did it come off to you?
I think Morrison in some ways works on the Emperor Has No Clothes type basis, because a lot of the stuff I got... I just read the last trade, and some of the stuff I recognized is kind of calling back to older arcs. Some of the stuff I didn't,
mm-hmm.
but did when I read them again. So does that mean it should have been published in trade form? Because I can understand why people don't remember something that happened 1.5 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Or should he have written it for comic form, as in monthly serial? That's what it is. And if you're going to introduce something that happened 1.5 years ago, that needs to be clearly written.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like if you say that, or say this makes no sense, you're, from many perspectives, you could just be saying doy, because I want this book to be dumb enough for me to understand it. And the fact that it isn't,
mm-hmm.
really bothers me. And it's that guy's fault. To say Grant Morrison is continuity heavy is just such an understatement.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not sure that always serves the best interests of the story, to have to be looking back at 4 years of your own personal continuity within the story,
mm-hmm.
and then Batman's been around 1939, 70 years,
yeah.
of overall comics continuity. I think that you need to walk people through it a little more than he's willing to do.
Would that have...
Then again...
Like, I see what you're saying, but I feel like that would have slowed the story down a lot. Because I guess the flip side, you know Dan Slott, he did She-Hulk and a couple other things.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he uses continuity in a different way from Morrison. It's much more Roy Thomas-y, where if someone from the 70s appears, you're getting their life story. Like, like, no matter what, you know, like, you know, back in my day with the Justice Squad, blah, 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 blah. And it, like, it really hurts the pacing of his books sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess there's a few ways to kind of, you know, reintroduce things. There's, you know, editor's boxes, which also, like, it's not really my favorite way to do it. But they're also recap pages. Pretty much, like, there's no good solution if you're going to reference old stuff. Because you either get someone going, as you know, blah, 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 blah.
Well, they've got Damien, who's this new character.
Yeah.
So if Dr. Hurt shows up, mm-hmm. or they mention psychological experiments from that they showed Batman do in the 60s,
mm-hmm.
this is the guy to mention it to be like,
oh, yeah.
That's the guy who put me in an isolation chamber in the 60s.
I think they used Kitty Pryde and Jubilee like that in X-Men for years. Like, you'd think they were both idiots, how much explaining was going on.
So, I mean, it just it doesn't have to be more than a sentence for some of these.
Mm-hmm. That's curious, because for me, Batman basically begins in, like, the 70s, like the Neil Adams stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I can probably count on one hand the number of issues I've read, like, before Neil Adams was drawing Batman. So I know that there's stuff that I missed, but it didn't necessarily, like, I didn't need to know that it was a thing, mm-hmm. if that makes sense. Like, I know that the isolation experiments were a real deal with, you know, the Batman of Zur-En-Arr, but, like, I feel like I got enough in the story to where I could just kind of, it's like a snowball falling downhill and gaining mm-hmm. speed. Like, I could just be along for the ride.
Yeah. Well, there's also, I totally forgot what I was going to say. Continue.
It's, there was something Graham said interesting. It was on his, him and Jeff's Wait What podcast. He was talking about The Invisibles, which was kind of Grant Morrison's big Vertigo series.
Mm-hmm.
And he said that, I'm going to butcher his quotes, I'm not even going to try, but paraphrased,
mm-hmm.
a lot of it doesn't hang together at all, and there are huge plot holes,
mm-hmm.
but it's not the story that's important, it's the experience of reading the story, so that while you're going through, like, it all works because you're in the moment, you're along for the ride, and it all works right then, mm-hmm. but then when you stop to contemplate certain aspects of it, it's just a whole lot of, you know, stuff.
For me, it doesn't work. Because if I'm suddenly, I'm like, did I miss that?
Mm-hmm.
Am I supposed to get that? Will I need to get that to go on to the next page? That kind of brings me out of the story.
Mm-hmm.
I guess another possibly good, possibly bad thing about Morrison is that comics has certain, not tropes, but there are a certain way that stories are told,
mm-hmm.
and one of the reasons he's so immensely popular is he just throws that out.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you don't randomly bring Deathstroke into a story.
Yeah.
You show Deathstroke, one, standing menacingly, like, in the background,
yeah.
3 pages ago, and then you mention that, or in, like, issue 2.
Mm-hmm.
And then in issue 4, you mention, Damien mentions, like, it's weird since my mother put a new spine in me. I feel certain proclivities to, like, I don't know.
Terminate things.
Yes.
Actually, Talia does make probably the worst pun I've ever seen a villain make in that story arc. When she goes, Some of my executors, so that he can deliver the death stroke.
And then 3, everything goes haywire. Damien starts attacking Dick.
Yeah.
And then you see that Deathstroke's taken over his body.
Mm-hmm.
That, like, some people do it really well. Some people do it badly.
Mm-hmm.
Morrison, it seems like, doesn't even occur to him to do it.
To build him up?
Suddenly, and something's dropped into the story, and it's just from out of nowhere. And sometimes it comes back, and sometimes it doesn't.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, that can make for really interesting stories. Sometimes that's what you need, just being like, I cannot take yet another comic where I know every single thing is going to happen.
Yeah.
The moment I read the, like, solicit.
Yeah, no joke.
And sometimes that's just, where did that come from? I mean, it takes a certain originality, though, because if you're reading comics for this long, that's a setup. That's what you do when you write it or when you think about it.
There's always the ominous foreshadowing or the countdown to insert crossover name here.
Yes.
Yeah.
Whereas Morrison doesn't do that at all, which indicates admirable originality of mind, I think.
And it's funny, he doesn't... So, like, the last 4 or 5 years of DC Comics, they'd be hate Deathstroke. Like, I used to think he had a cool gimmick, even though I think that the 10% of the brain thing is, like, the dumbest thing that people keep bringing up. It's like, Deathstroke's so smart because he uses more than 10% of his brain. It's like, no, that means that he's very, very below actual smart, because everyone uses all of their brain.
But, I'm just carrying around a lot of excess brain.
Yeah.
Like, I'm willing to bet no matter where you stab someone in the brain, you're going to mess something up for them because you use all your brain.
But, like, I could live with it because, you know, he was the cool assassin.
Yes.
His costume's horrible, but, like, I like the one-eye thing. I think that's pretty cool.
And he had the, like, a certain code of honor, and he had certain behaviors that you could...
Like, it was a very classic sort of character.
Yeah.
It's sort of like Dr. Well, actually, he does have the genocide. But over the past, like, 5 years of DC Comics, he's been so overplayed.
Yeah.
To the point where, like, he shows up, and I just want to close the comic.
Or he's just like, I'm evil.
Yeah.
And none of you can beat me.
Like, I've got a team full of murderers, and we're all just going to go around killing countries, because that's what we do.
Yeah.
This month in Titans. But,
because I'm mad that you like my daughter or something. I don't know.
Yeah. Like, they turn him in... Like, angry fathers can work in comics, but not like Deathstroke works. So I thought the Morrison take was interesting because all of, like, the ominous foreshadowing and, you know, oh no, Deathstroke's coming, we gotta hide, all that stuff was thrown out of the window.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just, he's here, if you don't know who he is, it's clear that, like, he's an awesome dude. And, like, in the end, Dick Grayson finally gets to address the fact that he killed, like, a billion people in Bloodhaven. And, you know, to be fair, he beats up an old man in the hospital bed. But the old man definitely had it coming. So, like, that worked. On the flip side...
Still better than that story of Deathstroke, who is, like, when he's, like, in the wheelchair, and people are like, he's dying, you have to come see him, he's dying, his daughter. And she goes over to him, and he's like, the fools couldn't tell that instead of my organs shutting down, they were regenerating.
What?
Like, how can you not tell that?
Every
you don't have an invisible liver.
Stupid.
Like, you have to notice that there's someone's liver is... Never mind, go on.
Oh, man. But yeah, it's stuff like that that made me really dislike the character. So I thought this was a cool new take where he's kind of... It's not out of his element, but it's a version we haven't seen before, mm-hmm. or at least in recent memory.
Yeah, but I wouldn't consider him... Like, when you think of classic Deathstroke,
mm-hmm.
you think of a guy who would jump into a 10-year-old's body and...
Maybe not classic, but the last 5 or so years, yeah.
Yeah, but that's the guy you don't like.
It's... I think that the way it was written was the difference.
Mm-hmm.
Because any story could theoretically be a good story.
Mm-hmm.
Like, War Games actually had a good idea in the middle of it. And actually, I was talking with some friends about War Games last night, and we all agree it's the worst comics crossover in history. But, like, the way it was executed, it sucked. This one, you know, Deathstroke mind-controlling a kid and fighting Dick Grayson, it came off well because all the stuff around it, like the conflict between Talia and Damian,
mm-hmm.
where she's like, look, you're my son, and you're going to do what I tell you to do. Even if I have to mind-control you to make you do it. Like, that's very comic book-y. Like, I like how that turned out.
Yeah.
But, like, the foreshadowing for Simon Hurt,
mm-hmm.
as he's coming back to Gotham, they keep mentioning, you know, there's El Penitente, and he's got a train, and he's coming, and blah, 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 what's going on?
Mm-hmm.
I thought that was effective in the same way that, like, foreshadowing Deathstroke wouldn't have been effective.
Mm-hmm.
Because he's, like, the actual villain of the arc. And if you've been following along, then you get that, like, oh, he's coming back, this is going to be a big deal. And if you haven't, you kind of still get that feeling.
Mm-hmm.
just because he gets a couple pages dedicated to him over the course of like the first three arcs. Mm-hmm. I read them all in a row, so it was all very fresh in my head. And I think you're right that these really should have come out as like discrete stories instead of, you know, monthly issues. Mm-hmm. If only because just the way Morrison plots them, like they read so much better as books. But that's an argument that will probably piss everyone off when I say that most trades should be graphic novels. Most stories should be graphic novels. But so, Damian, kind of the linchpin of Batman and Robin?
Yeah. He
You're looking for something
politic to say.
He makes
the story go. Let's go with that. Yeah, let's go with that.
Yeah.
I think, I don't know, I find him obnoxious. Like, he's fun as an obnoxious little kid.
Mm-hmm.
That's fun. As a mini version of Batman, I don't like him. But because that particular version of Batman, where, like, he can do no wrong and everything he says turns out to be right, and he's, like, smarter than a nuclear physicist and better at business than everyone else, and, like...
Plus, he fits Batgirl's costume better than Batgirl, so take that, Barbara Gordon.
Yes.
Yeah.
Like, and all this, like, terrible stuff he does turns out to have been right all along. How could you doubt him?
Mm-hmm.
I don't like that Batman. Like, that's just annoying. I feel like I'm kind of being set up for some...
I told you so or something?
Juvenile version of, like, a hero or a guy's version of a Mary Sue.
Mm-hmm. Gary Stu.
Yes.
Yeah. It's, so I thought that...
Whereas, like, when it's just his personality, mm-hmm. like, I see him coming into Batgirl in a couple of months.
Yeah.
He's doing another arc with, or another couple of issues with Stephanie, and I'm just like, yes! That is gonna be so much fun!
Yeah.
Because, I mean, he is a fun personality, but you gotta get rid of that other stuff.
It's weird because I made a mean comment on the blog about it earlier this week. That uh-huh. they let people other than Grant Morrison write Damian.
Because yes, as I saw that.
Because as I was reading Batman and Robin, and I would sometimes flip over to other Bat books because I was curious what was going on. And so in Batman and Robin, he's a very specific kind of obnoxious. He's very aristocratic. I know I'm right. Even though, like, he screws up a whole lot, which I'll get back to later. But then in the other books, it turns into, like, by the way, you're fat and ugly. Ha ha ha, hooker.
Yes.
It's like, he's 10 years old.
Yeah.
You know? There's this kind of weird...
Suddenly he's like
Damian.
A jackass instead of...
A snob.
Yes.
Yeah. And, like, I like the snob part.
Yes.
I think that works because he's basically, like, he thinks he knows everything, but he is still 10 years old. He's very, very advanced for his age, but he's still 10 years old. And the stuff that stuck out to me in Batman and Robin, though, is the stuff that he gets wrong. Like, first getting, like, shot in the back was pretty embarrassing. But, like, he gets tossed off a roof, shot in the back, he... saves the girl and then, like, just doesn't bother to finish saving her in the first arc. Which is... That's not really how Batman does it. Like, he just keeps rushing in headlong and having to apologize to Dick Grayson. And even in the Fraser Irving arc, when he gets kidnapped by the Joker, you know, he's like, you know, I tried to help, I messed up, I'm so sorry, like, I should have listened to you. It's kind of breaking down the obnoxious snob Damian. And they keep me, like, there's this thing I want to do that I haven't got a chance to yet, but just pulling specific scenes from the comics and, like, kind of pointing out the evolution, because he's clearly learning stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the first arc is, you know, how to be a Robin. Like, you have to rescue people, you have to pay attention, and really, you have to do detective work, stop being a little douchebag. And I think that now that we're, like, at the end of it, and now that, like, his father's back... Which mm-hmm. was one of, like, the best Batman scenes in years, was that scene where him and Bruce are talking to each other after Bruce Wayne looks at the burnt painting of his parents and Damian's crying under his mask. Yeah, that was... Wow.
And where he asked if we can entrust you to get...
Yeah, Pennyworth.
Yes.
I thought that was exactly what I'd been wanting to read, like, this entire time, like, that level of quality. So, like, I'm definitely a Damien fan, but I'm skeptical when he turns into, like, somehow post-pubescent Damien. Because, like, the first... Like, when Morrison took the break, there was Battle for the Cowl. Uh-huh. And there was that weird thing where he was picking up girls in the Batmobile.
Well, Morrison did that.
When? Because the only time Damien got to drive the Batmobile was when he knocked an ambulance off a bridge, because he didn't know the Joker was in it, but it was very fortunate.
I thought Morrison did a thing where he, like, crashed a... He was going after some girl. Was that Battle for the Cowl?
Yeah, because there was Killer Croc out of nowhere, I think, or something like that.
Suddenly, Killer Croc.
Yeah. Like, that's the one I'm not as comfortable with. Like, I like him being very young and a jerk. But, like, when you bring in, like, all of this grown-up stuff, it just seems weird.
Yeah. I don't know who wrote him recently, but there was just something about... I remember reading it and being like, that...
Oh, was it Superman Batman, the Halloween issue?
Yeah,
and he's like, you know, I tried to find you a costume. They didn't have either Matron or Streetwalker. Like, what?
No, I can see that they were kind of going for the...
Yeah.
The aristocratic thing, but it was like when Doom called Sue Storm a cow.
Oh, yeah.
Like, that...
Like, it doesn't quite fit.
No.
Like, there's levels of jerkiness that are acceptable. Like, we have a hierarchy we have to follow. And that kind of breaks. And it's sort of like...
I felt like if you got an appropriately... aristocratic or eloquent adjective or something, yeah, some modifier to describe cow, mm-hmm, maybe it could have worked. But...
Gluttonous cow?
No. Like, bigger. Like, get out your thesaurus.
Yeah.
Thesauri, comic book land. You don't know this word.
Yeah, that's...
Kinda.
And I feel like if... Instead he was making fun of someone's skill... Mm-hmm. Like, so Stephanie Brown is, like, the easiest example. He's like, blah, 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 you look fat in that costume. Like... Whatever. But if, yeah, he was like, hey, aren't you that Robin who is a failure? Like, it had the same effect, and it kind of fit, like, how he's been written elsewhere.
I think in the first one where he was like, I wanted to meet the cool Batgirl who can do stuff. You froze me!
I still need that meeting to happen. Like, my goodness, that would be fantastic. But yeah, so Dick Grayson. Good as Batman? Bad as Batman?
Good as Batman.
Yeah.
I liked him.
I like that he's so conversational.
Yeah.
Like, he keeps up with the cops. You know, he's... There was one bit in, I think it was the anniversary issue, Batman 700, where he's talking to a cop, and he's like, oh, how's your son? Is he recovering from some accidents? And the cop is like, oh, yeah, he's been doing PT for weeks. He's doing good. Like, that's the sort of thing you don't see Bruce Wayne doing.
Yeah.
And I think that's what makes Dick Grayson such a good Batman. Is he's the kinder, gentler Dark Knight.
So, Batman Incorporated.
Yes.
Are you excited?
I'm not excited for the $4, but I am kind of excited for it. Excited enough to buy it. I like Yannick Paquette, and I think the gimmick is actually really cool. Even though it, like, any idiot could tell that Bruce Wayne is Batman now.
Yeah.
Because, like, by the way, I've been financing Batman this entire time, and some reporter's like, wait, haven't there been, like,
giant
four
guy.
Robins? Like, what are those three kids standing behind Batman, or Bruce Wayne, doing?
Well, that's why they told Stephanie she couldn't be there.
But yeah, it's gonna be totally, it's like any representative of a country in comic books is gonna be horribly stereotyped. And if done well, it's like really cool. Like Captain America,
like French
is ridiculous.
Batman with a beret, yeah, like with ears poking through.
Though
it.
They've revealed the French
beating
Batman.
People with a loaf of bread.
I would be
smoking.
Okay with that. Talking about how Americans don't know anything about cinema. But no, actually, the French Batman is going to be French Algerian parkour guy, which is going to be interesting.
Ah, excellent. That's good.
Yeah. So there, it's Morrison is one of the few people I trust to kind of dabble in stereotypes and not make it offensive.
Just I don't know, he was kind of offensive. But it's like 1960s offensive almost.
Yeah.
We're like, you don't know any better.
And that was, I mean, they were from the 60s, so it kind of fit. Like, it didn't feel like he was just being offensive for offensive sake.
Yeah.
Know? It was like, these guys are super corny, and we all know this. But I think Ink is going to go in a different direction, which will be neat.
Yeah, I'm kind of up in the air about it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it could be really fun Batman working with a team, like seeing how other people do it, funding good work.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good Batman. On the other hand, if we redo stuff like Batman and the Outsiders, where he's like, you know, Dick, you built a great team, and you can't lead it anymore. Get lost. Also, now I'm going to audition your entire team to see if it's okay for them to stay on the team that they founded.
It's kind of like forcing someone into a divorce and then marrying their spouse. But yeah, from what I can tell, it's like...
And then divorcing their spouse, almost.
Oh, yeah.
Or shipping their children off to boarding school or something. Where he's like, you know, what's your... Thunder.
Yeah.
You're on the team anymore. You're not qualified. She's like, I've been on this team for 3 years.
I moved in. Like, I don't have an apartment anymore.
Was part of the original team.
It's judging from the last issue of Return of Bruce Wayne, mm-hmm. I think that Bruce Wayne has his head on straight again in terms of, like, the entire crux of that story was him realizing that he's never been alone. He's always had help.
That was a good one. But there's also Bruce Wayne the Return, or what was that?
Oh, no, there's The Dark Knight. That's the David Finch one where he's like, Batman should be kind of hateful and scary almost.
Yeah.
That's separate from Ink. That's like a separate
No, where they
series.
Did like Batman, Bruce Wayne Returns, Oracle.
Oh, The Road
Bruce
Home.
Wayne.
Yeah, those were worthless.
That was exactly the kind of Batman I hate, where he's just like, I was the person who planned all of this. Oh, and by the way, you all suck. Oh, yeah. And... Like, where it takes all the agency out of, like, 10 characters. And also insults, like, 10 characters.
Yeah.
Also, Batman can be awesome.
That, like, new suit, like, I don't know if... I almost hope
sucked.
He keeps it. Like, I like him having all those powers because I feel like he built that suit out of just pure bitterness at the Justice League. Like, stupid Barry Allen thinks he runs so fast. You know?
I'll show him.
Yeah.
Oh, that chase.
But it was just... It was like 2006 Batman came back, you know? Where it's like, I'm the boss of Gotham. Everybody has to do what I say. Blah, 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 blah. And it's like, no, you're a vigilante. You
yeah.
know? Like, these are your buds.
You're not like the licensing bureau.
Well, I guess now he actually is. But hopefully, like... It will actually be this kinder Batman. A Batman
yes.
who knows he needs help.
The good Batman.
Yeah. And, like, I am a huge fan of the Frank Miller Batman. And David Finch says he's a huge fan of the Frank Miller Batman. But I hate everything David Finch has said about how he's going to be writing Batman in that series. It's just... Like, I like scary Batman.
Is that, like, a different continuity thing?
No, it's all the same... It's, like, mainstream DC. It's just a different take. Kind of like how Morrison had the superhero Batman and Paul Dini had the detective.
Uh-huh. Okay.
All those years ago. This is the supernatural, hateful, fighting ghosts Batman.
Yeah, squirt that Batman.
Yeah, exactly. But I think
we had Miller for 20 years, and
yeah.
I think he had a great original take, but no more.
Yeah. I'm actually really looking forward to the Scott Snyder Detective Comics. Because, have you seen Francesco Francavilla's art? He's, like, absurdly good, and he's doing a Commissioner Gordon backup.
Oh.
And, like, it's basically what I've been asking for years.
Wait, isn't that the guy from The Losers?
He's doing the main Batman story.
Ah.
And I...
But he's also... It's all in the same book,
yeah.
yes? Okay.
Until the backups go away, and then there's going to be, like, a Gordon one-shot in the middle of the series. Mm. But it's, like, Scott Snyder does American Vampire, which you wouldn't think would be good judging by the name, but it's actually really good. It's actually a new twist on vampires, which it's fairly rare.
Tell me the new twist.
So, you like, your classic Draculas are mm-hmm. specifically European, mm-hmm. but whenever something, like when people migrate from one place to another, things change. Mm-hmm. Like, nothing ever stays the same. So the new American vampires can actually go out in the sun, but when they're in vampire That's form, they're much more monstrous.
That's Buffy.
And something else. There was some other twist in there that made it good.
Alright.
But it's the storytelling that makes it work.
I like vampire stories. That's why I know all this crap.
And the first story was set in like the early days of Hollywood, and there were flappers, and I'm very partial to flappers.
That's True Blood.
Really?
Well, they had a episode about that, yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that. But that's not gonna make me watch True Blood.
Good call.
Yeah. But that's gonna be another one.
They just introduced fairies.
What?
Apparently the spoilers for anyone who wants to rewatch the first three seasons of True Blood. The heroine is like all the vampires love her and want to suck her blood because she's part fairy. And
at this point
fairy
you're just making
is
things
like
up.
Crack for vampire, I don't know.
Okay, so as a total side
part. And also she can make her hands glow and like shoot them across the room.
Fairies. Are there deer people in True Blood?
There are jaguar people who are like meth dealing hillbillies. And then there are dog, like shapeshifters who mostly shift into dogs, who were also hillbillies, but they ran a dog fighting ring because they were like human smart dogs, so they could kill their dog competitors.
Uh huh. Human smart dogs. Oh my goodness.
And then there was another shapeshifter who always liked to shift into a pig.
That's
and
weird.
She was a Maynard's familiar.
This show sounds like a hot mess.
It is. In so many ways.
So I was talking to Meredith on Twitter, Meredith from
IO9. Uh-huh.
And she mentioned that, like, since we already have werewolf and vampire sex, the hot new thing is going to be deer people sex. And I was, for a minute, really worried that it already existed. And that it was on True Blood. That was, like, the only place I could think of where that sort of thing would show up.
It's just a matter of time.
Yeah.
I'm thinking jaguar people is going to be next. I mean, it's got a few old movies, like Cat People.
Oh, yeah. And Tommyknockers? Was that the Stephen King?
Oh, you're right. Yes.
Yeah. That was gross.
Yeah.
Because that was, like, his mom or something, too.
I don't know who that was, yeah.
That movie was horrible. But, yeah, Batman.
So,
Scott Snyder thing, it's going to be like hardcore detective stories, actually solving mysteries in Gotham and kind of playing with the world.
Well, that sounds like it could be good.
Yeah.
I'll at least look at it, but I have a feeling that it's going to infuriate me.
How come?
Because of the Batman is Right. Awesome. No, that's the other guy.
Yeah, that's the other guy. This is the good guy.
Oh, the good guy.
Yeah.
All right.
I'm actually buying two Batman comics, like monthly, which
I really like the cover that they showed on the preview. That was nice.
Oh, for Incorporated?
No, the...
For Detective?
Your guy, Detective. Okay. Or it's just Batman, just the cloak, and it's very simple.
Yeah. It's Jock is a great artist.
And so, his name is Just Jock?
He's got a real name, but it's Just Jock.
All right.
I think it's like Marcus something. I happened to cross it out online at one point. But I think that, like, Detective and Batman Inc. are going to be two pretty good series. And, like, the kind of Batman that I actually like reading about. There's also Tony Daniels' Batman, which I don't know anything about. Like, I haven't...
So many Batman.
Yeah.
What is Tony Daniels writing?
Got me. He wrote Battle for the Cowl, which... Strike one. And he wrote the past, like... year of Batman that no one's read.
Streets of Gotham Batman?
No, or... just like Batman. There has been a...
That's where Joker like takes over and Jokerizes many people and there are a whole bunch of Jokers and I think there's a pretend Batman.
Oh, that was after. But
oh, for crying
Daniel's
out loud.
Arc was yeah. There's been an entire Batman book you forgot existed.
Yes. Not even I can keep up with this stuff anymore. I'm only one person.
But yeah, that one I'm gonna give it a miss. If it's good, I'll hear about it. If not, like, I'll go back to thinking it doesn't exist.
All right. Well, good past, hopeful future.
Yeah.
I think we'll leave it there.
And great covers on Batman Incorporated. Mm-hmm. Did you see the new one with Batwoman?
I did not.
Oh, so the next... They just released the Batman preview solicits. And the February issue of Batman Inc. is a Batman and Batwoman team-up. I'm assuming Bruce Wayne, just because I think that he's the lead character in the book. And it's J.H. Williams on the cover, so it looks really nice. And the internet's going slow, so I'll have to show you later, apparently.
I saw the Batwoman Zero book.
Oh, yeah.
That, where they're like, yeah, the last one didn't take. Let's try again. One more time.
I like the artists involved. Like, I think JHW is really good, and from what I've seen of Amy Reader Hadley, I think is her name, she's really cool, but like, I feel like I could just read the trade and get a better experience. I did that for Batwoman, and I thought that it was much better in trade than it was in singles. Mm. Oh, so it did load. Maybe I can shrink it. Yeah. And it's just a cool cover with an interesting perspective. It's just Batman and Batwoman hanging out.
With a flag on the sky.
Yeah. The first cover is like Flags of the World behind Batman's back. Have you seen that one?
Yeah, that's nice.
Yeah. But so yeah, for the first time in about 4 years, there's a whole bunch of good Batman books. Oh, so Batgirl. What's up with that? Is Dustin Nguyen the ongoing artist, or...?
I think so.
Okay.
I don't know what's coming up. Right now... What can I say? I'm a story junkie. We'll get into that in our next Why Are We Reading Superhero Comics podcast. I like it. It's a lot of fun. Sometimes it goes a little overboard on the... I'm an identifiable teenage girl.
Does she go,
dang,
like, you know,
look at my wacky life with my wacky screw-ups.
Does she talk about her Apple iPod TM all the time or anything like that? Or
no,
it's just...
Oh, okay. We're good with that.
Yeah, because Ultimate Spider-Man was pretty bad about that when it first started.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, and it started 10 years ago now. You can imagine how those early issues read. Oh, so one last thing, which I'll try to somehow spin into a positive... Hush, House of Hush, is still going on. And I swear that story started like 3 years ago.
That's where he gets the Bruce Wayne face?
Yeah. And it's in Streets of Gotham.
What the hell?
Yeah, like, I don't know what story Danny could possibly be telling after all this time. At some point, you just gotta give up the ghost. Like, nobody wants to read about Hush. That sounded pretty positive. We'll just leave it at that.